שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל
הספירה. We're reading in Kabbalah for the Student, page 242, the Matan Torah article, the giving of the Torah, and we are in item 5. You can ask questions at kab.tv, and selected questions will be aired live. Again, Kabbalah for the Student, page 242, article Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, item 5. We must first understand why the Torah was given specifically to the Israeli nation and not to all the peoples of the world equally. Is there, God forbid, nationalism involved here? Of course, only an insane person would think that. In fact, our sages have examined this question, and this is what they meant by their words, God gave it to every nation and tongue, and they did not receive it. But what they find bewildering is why then were we called the chosen people, as it is written, the Lord thy God has chosen thee. Since there was no other nation that wanted it. Moreover, there is a fundamental question in the matter. Can it be that the Creator came with His law in His hands to negotiate with those savage peoples? Or by His prophets? Such a thing has never been heard of and is completely unacceptable.
Questions? Yes.
This question is a central problem in our dissemination to the world. The problem that Baal HaSulam described. Being
what
chosen
was the problem?
People. How to explain this when we talk about that?
I think that the whole world agrees with it. Only I don't agree to be the chosen person, the chosen people. I'm always this special. I'm always this unique. When I enter into some place, people look at me. Yes, did you live overseas in any place in the diaspora? Yeah, wherever you are, you stand out. Maybe you don't want people don't want to say that, or you don't want to see it like that. But it's truly like that. Every place that you're at, you want to hide yourself that you're Jewish. Everyone's pointing to you and saying, look at, he's Jewish. Why, what's happening? Something special. There are those that are smarter. They say, they're causing all the problems in the world. We're the nations of the world, and they're causing us bad. Why? Well, because. You know, they're all in the banks, all the governments, there are all kinds of things. They have... kind of a hidden government where they're managing the world and they're doing all the turmoil in the world. Ask the nations of the world and they'll say, yes, that's how we feel. So they're pointing to us that we're like a special nation. What's the problem? You're saying that it's not like that. I also don't want to be like that, but that's how it is. I open the media and all the newspapers and places in the world. Where's Israel? What's this? I just came back a few days ago from China. Yeah? 1.5 billion Chinese. How much do you hear about them? Imagine to yourself if there was such a number of Jews. It would be like Earth would explode. There wouldn't be the ability to sustain them, to keep them. Truthfully, the crust of Earth wouldn't be able to hold on to them. What would they do in the world? Look what's happening with a few millions. Because we're definitely special. No matter what you say, in all the times, in all the generations, it has nothing to do with some nation or some period. We were always special. On the side of good or the side of bad, that's not important. We brought the Torah to the world, what we call religion. We brought many, many, the psychology, philosophy, everything. Everything. What can you say? That's how it happened. You can't erase history or do anything. You're in it. So these are the things that we cannot come out of. You could see a Jew in any place in the world that wants to hide, and it doesn't work out for him. It doesn't happen. It's impossible. No matter how many spins he does and he tries to go to Australia or New Zealand or I don't know where. I've met all kinds of such types. You see immediately. Immediately.
I agree with that 100%, but
I could take from the nations of the world a few people, and I'm sorry, I don't want to say about them that they're like dogs, but they're like, they can identify according to the smell, where there's a Jew or not a Jew. They, from them, on themselves, they, on their own, they point to me, whether it's to good or to the bad, it doesn't matter. But they can notice me immediately.
Well, I'll tell you what I meant.
You see, we're in the 21st century. We thought already enough. We already left that kind of thing. It has nothing to do with Judaism or Christianity or Islam. It has to do with a natural hatred, which is immersed in nature and the laws of nature. And this is something you cannot erase. It's you're not capable. It's impossible. There is a solution to this problem. The solution is here, that which you're learning now, the giving of the Torah. You were given the Torah in order to implement your uniqueness so that you will accept it and manage it in the right way and implement it correctly. Otherwise, there is no other solution. If you want to solve the problem of anti-Semitism or the Jews in general or all the problems in the world and all the issues in the world which do stem from the problems with the Jews, because we are definitely special, and our neglect in our spiritual work are causing all the problems and the troubles in the world, just like Baal HaSolam explains to us in the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar and in general and what we're learning. You're special. And it's justified that you're hated.
No, you're not talking with respect to the Jews. I'm talking about those who are non-Jews. When they speak about the chosen people, the role of the people of Israel, they get very upset because they say, we also want to be good. We also want to attain the Creator. And you say that you are the chosen ones. That's the problem.
Please. No, I'm chosen because I have to serve the whole world. And the fact that I'm not doing it on time, that I'm late, the whole world is suffering and hates me for that. I must. And everyone in the world doesn't have to, unless he feels an inclination towards this, that he has a certain spark that also ignites in him. Then according to that that spark, he's also called Israel, and accordingly he's also coming to the right implementation. That's it. Try to see these things in the true manner, in the light. Do you want to ask something? Okay. Well, is it clear? Zvika. I didn't see you even. Well, even the microphone they took from.
I'm willing to accept all that you said. I agree with everything you said, but I'm asking myself, you know, the chosen people should also agree to be the chosen people. It's not that you throw it at somebody, you say, you're going to be the chosen people. One, I'm asking, why? What is the root for that?
I'll tell you, it's according to the root of the soul. Meaning there is, in the general will to receive, in the system, a part which is called Galgalta Inayim. These are kilim that are more meant to for correction. Where from those kilim? Abraham, when he started to explain to us that matter of in Babylon about the crisis, so through the work with the Babylonians there, he gave a very clear sign. Anyone who wants to reach this form of bestowal, to faith above reason, to love upon hatred, to connection between people, the general, the rule, come to my tent. And they came. And if someone doesn't feel that, then it's clear that he didn't exist there. He didn't come. A very small quantity from all in all of humanity of those days, which was in Babylon, a very small part of it came to Abraham also, several thousands, and that's it. And with them he went. All the rest remained, because they didn't feel any benefit in it. They felt the benefit in the fact that we, with our ego, are going to continue and work into in this manner. When you go out to the street today and you just cry out to all the Jews of today, guys, let's go and connect and unite, for come to love, because this is what the Torah demands of us. This is the Torah of truth, where we truly need to come to love thy friend as thyself, which is the great rule of the Torah. How many will hear you? Well, it's like, so also today you discover that you're in Babylon.
Well, the other way around. I'm telling you, yesterday I was shocked. I saw what happened with the Ethiopians in the Rabin Square. There was a big protest there. And as you know, this square symbolizes the murder of Rabin and the unity of the nation. And yesterday I saw this. I was shocked. I'm telling you, we were a bunch of people there, and we couldn't believe what we were seeing. There is this force, a true force, that somebody intended for some disaster to happen there, some brotherly, you know, war. I haven't seen it in 50 years. I haven't seen such a thing. So I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you, where do these forces come from? Such a thing in our country, they throw these shock bombs, you know. Where does that come from?
Wait, did something happen there?
Yeah, unbelievable mess, you know. People were injured, ambulances, cops were injured. It was an unbelievable mess. All night last night, you know, there was television showing it. It's not over yet.
What happened there? Was it kind of provocation? Or?
I don't know, but the feeling is it's not some force, that the internal force that comes from here. I mean, the Ethiopians, they were not violent before. Suddenly you see this violence.
No,
what is this? It's worse than Eastern Jerusalem. Jews who, you know, clash into Jews in such a way, I haven't seen such a thing before. Such hatred.
Okay, well, I don't want to get into that, but, you know, from that unfounded hatred, we're continuing the destruction for 2,000 years. If not coming to redemption, we're still in exile, which is basically the ruin, the destruction. It's not that it once exists, but if it exists, it exists according to the rules of the ruin, of the destruction. Where is this people of Israel? What kind of connection do we have in our nation? What I really didn't hear yesterday. I had a radio and a lesson and everything. It was a very loaded evening that I didn't hear these. I heard that in the Rabin Square there was supposed to be a big
They blocked all the streets and...
Okay, well, they closed down the streets. I understand. I thought there was just a lot of people. Well, we're not going to get into this right now. We need to scrutinize that in a different way. But this is just a sign that how much our society is sick, and to the degree in which we're not correcting it, we're causing it, whether we like or not, bad to the whole world. Whereas, in such a manner, it passes on to the whole world automatically, and therefore, you receive it back in a wave of anti-Semitism. That's it. Okay? So, what did he talk about here? So why are we called the chosen people? So the chosen people were called according to our role, as we need to carry it out. It's not that the Lord chose you and then you're in some height and exalted place and you're just sitting there at the peak, but rather he chose you in those vessels of Gilgat Einayim, which are awakened before the rest of the Kelim are awakened, where there are people who are awakened from all kinds of places. You see, we have students in South America, from Siberia, in every place, that are completely not belonging to the Jewish nation, but they belong to Israel, to Yasharkel, the direct of the Creator, where they feel that they have a special mission and they need to realize themselves in a spiritual plane. And this is what we need to do. And there are many such people in the world. We will discover many more people that will be disclosed and will connect with us. And what we will define within our circle of the general B'nai Baruch will give an influence to the whole world. That's why it's not so important to me. It's not that I don't care. I care that no disasters will happen, but it's not so important to me what is happening on the outside, because that's where nothing is defined or decided upon. We define everything. You who are here, to the measure of your connection with others, by doing so, you decide what's going to happen with your, from your group and from your ten. This, what you need to understand, is that it's the world depends on me, and that's why it's called the chosen person, because I have to care for the whole world. And implementing my essence, my choice, my connection in the ten. That's it. So that choice is not for the good or for the bad or anything. It simply obligates me to work. Well,
so, item 6, page 243. But when we fully understand the essence of the Torah and mitzvot that were given to us, and their desired purpose, to the extent our sages have instructed us, which is the purpose of the great creation that is set before our eyes, then we shall understand everything. For the first concept is that there is no act without a purpose, and there is no exception for this rule except for the lowest of the human species or infants. Therefore, it is certain that the Creator, whose exaltedness is beyond conception, would not act, be it a great or a small act, without a purpose. Our sages tell us about that, that the world had not been created but for the purpose of keeping Torah and mitzvot.
For the sake of bestowal, for the sake of connection, because the keeping of the Torah and mitzvot is the means which brings us to love of others, to love thy friend as thyself. That's what the world was created for, in order to correct the shattered vessel, in short, if we talk with words of Kabbalah. Correcting the shattered soul, correcting the shattered vessel, or to come to connection or love between us, it's the same thing, basically. It only depends on how we organize it in a sentence, with what words. So the world was created in concealment, and hiding in concealment has been created so that we on our own will be able to choose in the correction, meaning in the connection and love.
Meaning, as our sages have explained, that the aim of the Creator, from the time He created His creation, is to reveal His godliness to others. This is because the revelation of His godliness reaches the created being as pleasant bounty that is ever growing until it reaches the desired measure. And by that, the lowly rise with true recognition and become a chariot to Him and to cleave unto Him until they reach their final completion. Neither has the eye seen a God but Thee. And because of the greatness and glory of that perfection, the Torah and the prophecy too refrain from uttering even a single word of exaggeration here. As our sages said, all the prophets made their prophecies only for the days of the Messiah. But for the next world, neither has the eye seen a God besides Thee.
ואין כאן מה להוסיף.
הבעיה היא ש...
The problem is that all that's happening to us in this world, we can see something. I don't understand what's happening inside the musician, but I hear somehow how he executes his music. A scientist, I don't understand his, or know his physical is quantum physics, but I somehow understand it when he explains it in a simple manner. I can see the results, airplanes, ships, spaceships that we build and so on. There's no problem with that. Anything in our world which we build, we can show anyone, everyone. There's no lack of grasping in that, whereas in spirituality you cannot perceive, you cannot grasp. Because if we develop ourselves, such discernments awaken in us that don't exist in people that didn't develop them. But anyone can develop them, but someone who didn't develop them cannot feel them. It's as if I'm building inside myself a receiver, like a radio receiver, and I start hearing radio waves. Not bad if I had the ability to turn some knob here in my ear and I would hear second station, third station, different 103 FM, no stop. Also, where's that switch for no stop that I disconnect? Meaning, this is what we do. Meaning that we construct within us such vessels of reception that perceive the upper reality. What is upper? Meaning that they're not perceived in the five grasping bodily vessels of reception that we have. It's something additional, and these additional vessels, in these additional senses, we feel in them an additional reality which exists, but it's not received or perceived in our regular senses, in our regular reality senses. And I can't tell this to anyone. So that's why he says there's nothing to add here. There's no way to explain it. But rather, so what can you do? Then shut up. Be quiet. But people that the desire awakens in them to attain the true spirituality, which is called in us the purpose of life, the essence of life, the meaning of life, where he starts feeling that hunger for that feeling, then those people come to a method which helps them build that new vessel of reception in them. But to people who don't feel a necessity for that, but they don't have a lack for that, then they don't need it. And that's why this defines who's a Kabbalist and who's not. Who is going to develop and develop himself towards the reception of the additional reality, and who's going to remain in a animalistic manner. Let's say human. But to talk or tell about spirituality, there's really no point, because everything that happens is only the technique of how to draw the reforming light which corrects those new qualities, and in them you will feel the reality. That's it. What's happening nevertheless? How to push humanity towards the revelation of the Creator, where everyone needs to, after all, it's written, they will all know me from the smallest to the greatest. So what to do? So the Creator brings them sufferings, torments, where they don't have any choice. They're like a flock of sheep, and they just start running. They just don't know where to run, to this way or that way. Just like a flock. And then they nevertheless come to that sensation of suffering from their lives, even though they don't want something beyond that. But how to come to the meaning of the regular meaning of life, the point in life. And they see that they can't. And then the crisis comes, and in divorce, and depression, and drugs, and wars, and all those things. And why? Because people are not satisfied. They don't attain any meaning in life. What's the benefit from this? They're willing to hear that there's some special taste in life, special flavor in life, but they're not willing to come closer, do anything. What is it written about them in the end of the introductory to the book of Zohar? What is it written? That if Israel, meaning those people that have a longing, arrange themselves correctly, then through them, through the Galgalten and Naim, as we call them, through those people who aspire for spirituality, and then for the sake of that are willing to enter into that work in that Kli that they build, the filling will come also to those Kelim that don't have a longing for spirituality. But rather, how will all those Kelim connect? Because they have this sorrow, the general humanity. They feel bad. They're looking for a way to benefit their life, even somewhat, to not suffer. To rid themselves from the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the wars and, in general, different problems. And it will be more and more in every direction. And then they are capable of supporting those who are called Israel. Just give us the filling. Just give us the fulfillment and let us live. And Israel themselves, those that have the ability to receive the fulfillment, they are responsible both for themselves and for the nations of the world. Yes.
We are in the second column in page 243. This perfection is expressed in the words of the Torah and the prophecy and in the words of our sages in the simple word dveikut, adhesion. But for the widespread use of this word by the masses, it has lost almost all its content. But if you linger on that word for even an instant, you will be overwhelmed by its wondrous stature.
What does it mean that it lost all of its content? Because if I carry out some action of adherence, and the Creator doesn't have hands or feet or anything that people have in this world. But rather, adhesion can occur only according to the properties of a person. As a person comes closer according to his properties to the Creator, he changes his properties. That's actually the correct meaning. And people that don't do that, they took out that whole inner content, the whole essence, and they're adhered to something. If you do something external, it's considered that you're adhered to the Creator. That's the mistake. That's the error.
For you will picture the exaltedness of the Creator and the lowliness of the creature. Then you will be able to perceive the value of the dvekut of one with the other, and you will understand why we ascribe that word the purpose of the whole creation. It turns out that the purpose of the whole creation is that the lowly creatures will be able, by keeping Torah and mitzvot, to rise ever upwards, ever developing, until they are rewarded with dvekut, with their Creator.
Under the condition that they receive the light which reforms, and this will help them, where the properties of the Creator themselves will operate on a person, and a person will accordingly change. Is that clear? It's written here that keeping the Torah and Mitzvot will be able to go upwards and upwards until we will be able to adhere in their Maker.
Yes.
So from this, from that concept, the definition of the word adhesion is simple, that if we keep the Torah and Mitzvot, we will adhere to the Creator.
Certainly.
Okay, but you said that it's something wrong here.
Well, it depends on how you understand what dvekut is and what are the Torah and Mitzvot. If dvekut, adhesion, is achieved by performing actions with your body or with your desire, as it is, then it's not adhesion. It is simply external actions. And the Torah and Mitzvot, it means, as we always learned here, as it says in the Zohar also, that in a man, inside of man's desire, there are 613 desires, and when he corrects them so that he uses them not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of others, it is called that he is keeping Mitzvot, performing Mitzvot, that he is changing the use of his general desire. comprised of 613 specific desires, he changes it from in order to receive from himself, to give pleasure to himself, to in order to bestow to others. Why? Because this is how the Torah is, that's what it tells us what to do. That it is all destined in order to bring a person to love of others. Love thy friend as thyself is the great rule of the Torah. So, the Torah cannot be understood correctly unless it is for the correction of men, for the correction of the egoistic desire in men, to transform it into the will to bestow and to love others. And therefore, the reforming light corrects me to bestow to love of others, and the mitzvot are then called those desires of mine that by the light of the Torah are being corrected. My desires are corrected from the intention to receive for my own benefit to bestow for the sake of others. Yes.
In the beginning of this article, Baal HaSulam writes that love thy friend as thyself is really the great rule of the Torah, but there are other 612 additional mitzvot which divide between a person and his friend and between a person and the Creator. So all those forms of the 612, other than love thy friend as thyself, let's say we read in the Shulchan Aruch or in the short version of the Shulchan Aruch, where do they occur?
Because they detail for me, they explain to me what is the mitzvah, the commandment of love, the precept of love. He explains that the commandment of love is something that you cannot obligate a person to do because it depends on the heart's desire, on the understanding of the heart. And therefore, we have to keep all the corrections in all the specific desires in order to reach a state where all the desires come together and in them I bestow to others. And this is called love of others. And if I bestow to others, then by that I reach love for the Creator. Why? Because the Creator, Boreh, is the force of bestow that bestows in such a way to everyone as good, who does good. And if I want to bestow to the Creator, I also have to keep that same attitude towards others. I cannot bestow to the Creator. I can't bestow personally, directly to Him. Because the Creator is just a concept that I hear. But it's not some personality, God forbid. It's not an image. It's not some special force, something special that I can bestow to Him. Rather, inside of others, when I bestow to others, there, in the others, I discover that discernment called Boreh, Creator, come and see, that can be revealed only in the connection between us, between me and others. Therefore, by bestowing to others, by love thy friend as thyself, I reach, and you shall love the Lord your God. Only in such a way. Therefore, the Torah, which brings me to the love of the Creator, what does it say? In order to reach love of the Creator, you have to reach love of others. Only there you'll discover love for the Creator. Only there you'll reach equivalence of form with Him, dveikut, adhesion with Him. We're there, in the connection between everyone. When you will establish that in the connection, in this connection, you will discover that you and the Creator are in equivalence. There, in the others, you will meet Him. In that reciprocal work, which is adapted together. Therefore, you shouldn't even have that question of why do we have to reach love of others, as though it is demanded of us. Love the others. No, rather in the others, when I reach love of others, there I discover the love of God, my love of God, my love for the Creator. And there I discover Him, because what He does is He bestows to others. And when I reach love of others, I establish within myself a clue for the sensation of others, just like they are these others. And seemingly, I establish in myself a feeling for a clue for the sensation of the Creator, who is there. Where is He? He is in divinity. He is in His nation. And in such a way we work. So we have to think about that, how much these things, the love of the Creator, the love of others, and adhesion to the Creator, adhesion to others, when I carry them out, how much it is the same.
When Bala Sulam writes this article in 1933 and he writes such words, by keeping Torah and Mitzvot, they will get to adhere to Creator. And let's say I would receive this contrast that he wanted to distribute in Israel. What am I supposed to do with such a sense? I understand from here that we need to love others because that was the opening of the article. I need to love the Creator. I also understand that. And we have to also do many other things. We have to keep Shabbat and kosher rules, and there are many other things that enter into this concept of the keeping of Torah and Mitzvot. And this is what he writes. So what for
he doesn't write that?
Here, it's written here in item 6, by keeping the Torah and Mitzvot.
Fine, I don't know what for you is keeping the Torah and Mitzvot. Sorry, I mean, open up the 613, 18 and Pkudim, pieces of advice and deposits in the end of the introduction to the Zohar. You'll see what he writes there. In what volume is that? Where is the first volume? Does somebody have it? Okay, first volume, the introductions to the Zohar. What does it say here? General explanation. General explanation to all the 14 commandments or the precepts, because he arranges the 13 as 14, and how they are divided into the 7 days of Bereshit, of Genesis. So the Zohar writes the following. The 613 mitzvot in the Torah are called Pkudim as well as 18, deposits and advice. And in everything there is preparation for attainment called Achor, posterior, and the attainment which is called the Panim, the face. And accordingly we have in the Torah and mitzvot, we shall do and we shall hear. And when we keep the Torah and mitzvot in we shall do, before we merit hearing, then they are called 613 pieces of advice, a preparation or the posterior. And when we merit Lishma, hearing, then the 613 mitzvot become Pkudim, deposits, and etc. And he explains that it's not the way that you explain it to me. I'm following the explanation of the Zohar, but because it speaks of the internality, the internal correction. This is called the true Torah, the Torah of the light. And first of all, I want to see what is happening here. And then he explains to me that I have to correct my evil inclination, my desire, because it is evil, it is for myself, and to correct it into the good desire, good inclination, which is for others, and my desire is divided into 613 desires, so I have to correct each one of those desires, and this is called keeping a mitzvah. And only then, by what do I correct it? By 613 lights, which are called 613 lights in the Torah. The Torah is a general light, and in it are 613 specific lights that operate on my 613 desires, and I correct these desires. This is called using the Torah. This is called studying the Torah. This is called keeping the mitzvot. So, you are sorting out, scrutinizing them, Torah and Mitzvot, as people do who don't have an inclination for spiritual keeping of the Torah. And I explain it for people who have such a tendency for the spiritual direction. So each one has a different Torah. There is the reason of the Torah, which is opposite the reason of the landlords. There is the Torah of the landlords. You know, landlords are ones who have an ego and they keep it and that's how they live. And there is the Torah, which is the opposite of that of the landlords or the bosses. This is called the reason of the Torah. What does it mean? To build faith above reason. That is all. So let's not confuse it. We have this Torah and that Torah, and they don't enter, they don't mix with one another. So Kabbalists didn't want to spread the wisdom of Kabbalah to the common people, to the masses, because they are incapable of it. And it also talks about it in the Zohar in many places, that what we are talking about, the correction of the soul, we are speaking to those who have a deficiency to correct themselves, to bring themselves to the revelation of the Creator. And there are those who don't have this tendency. You see, how many people do we have here? 300 people? How many do we have all over the world sitting with us right now? 3,000 people? 2 million. That's all in all, maybe, you know, how many people it has reached. But all the others don't crave for it, and they don't need it. There is, as we say, hero or mighty in quantity and hero in quality. So we have to leave them alone. How will they reach the corrections? How will they get them through us? We are also responsible to pass it on to them. In what way? In a way that, let's say, we have circles, and from that they get some small illumination. And it is enough for them to get such an illumination in order to be correctly connected, and they will want to connect correctly. They will gradually feel that from that they get something good. And they don't need more than that. That is, they don't have to spin, twist themselves, bend themselves, and forcefully bring themselves to connection. No, it can be done in a pleasant way, because they don't have the point in the heart. They don't have two lines, only a single line. So, there is a different Torah to keep what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's it. And God forbid, we don't want to spoil any of that, or we don't want to enter the Torah of the landlords. It's forbidden. I remember the first time that I was with Rabash in the hospital. All in all, I spent 4 months in the hospital. We entered in Shavuot to the hospital. We had this ear problem. And I came to him maybe in February, in the winter. Sorry, it was 4 months after I came to him. There were all kinds of people there, including religious people. And I wanted to start talking about what is it that you're studying. And he just said that, you know. So he got me used to not mixing with anyone, not to talk to anyone about it. You can give him some book, please. Go ahead and read. But what he'll understand in your book is whatever he understands, because anyone who disqualifies is disqualifying through his own flaws. Yes.
There are several different definitions here. When Rabash writes that at a time when one can direct in order to bestow, that action is called a mitzvah. When a person can aim in order to bestow, it's called a mitzvah.
Where is that?
It's an article called The Manner of the Reward of the Receiver. That's from Rabash. Also, Rabbi Menachem, in the Light Ma'or Einayim, writes that the essence of the reward from the mitzvah is the adherence with God, and the pleasure of doing the mitzvah, which is the receiving of the Torah, which is receiving the Holy Divinity. Otherwise, it is considered a mitzvah which is emptiness, which has no liveliness, and it's only the body of the mitzvah, and is not called a mitzvah. Rather, only through the aspiration and adherence, that part of godliness that dwells inside him, but the root with all the with all of Israel. And there's another definition of Baal Sulam. He writes, the feeling of impression that comes to a person in the engagement of mitzvot between a person and the Creator is completely equal to the pleasure, the impression that he gets in the engagement of mitzvot between a person and his friends, because they are all done in lishma, without any hope for self-pleasure, meaning there is no hope or illumination that comes back to him for his reward by getting some kind of payback from being in this exalted point. The love of the Creator and the love of his friend become one truly.
This is called keeping the mitzvot by the light that reforms, that is called the Torah. That is, we have to see also out of the wisdom of Kabbalah, what does it say? That we have to correct the shattering, to correct the connection between us, which is egoistic, to correct ourselves to be in a single mechanism, in a single system, to discover the Creator and the connection between us. The Creator is the general quality of love and bestow. And we are talking about that kind of keeping. There is another kind of keeping for people who don't have that longing, who cannot, in practice, talk about adhesion and keeping of love to their friend. So they are keeping the Torah and Mitzvot on their level. And these are two different levels, and we must not mix with one another. We must not interfere, just like they should not interfere what we do or mix with us, because they have their level. Also for us, even though our level is higher, because we are talking about the inner keeping, the spiritual one, we must not interfere with what they are doing. Rather, well, all the best, let them keep it and do it as they do. This is the difference between the reason of the Torah and the reason of the landlords. Yes?
There's an additional thing that's a little kind of spicy from Rav Kook. He writes, I see that the essence of the prevention of the success in all that we do to strengthen Judaism and the standing of Israel and everything is because we neglected the godly light and from the heart and from the mind. And everyone turns now only to correct the simple orthodoxy, as if we could give life to the world without, as a body without a soul.
Well, that is also correct, certainly, but that's not for us to correct or for us to criticize. We have our own work. We don't want to enter contact with anyone. Rather, inside of our circle, inside of our 10, all in all, as many as it may reach, millions, we want to keep the correction as we understand that, what has to be corrected. Therefore, I'm asking and I'm recommending, we do not pay attention to anyone on the outside, rather anyone who wants to join, they can engage in their correction towards the Creator. Yes, Tons.
Rav, je voulais savoir pour aujourd'hui, qu'est-ce qu'on peut prendre de cette leçon et comment on peut vraiment mettre faire un pas en avant, un bon cette journée.
I wanted to know what can we take from this lesson in order to truly make the right step throughout the day.
Today, we learned, all in all the lessons, also in the last lesson, that keeping the Torah mitzvot, we're coming close to the holiday of Shavuot, Pentecost, the giving of the Torah, and this week we have the holiday of Lag BaOmer, that it is all inside of us, in our hands to correct, to make all possible efforts in order to discover the light that reforms. The light that reforms appears according to the equivalence of the kli with the light. The kli that is matching the light is the 10, the quorum, minyan, where inside of it there are people who are connected according to all the definitions that Rabash gave us in the social articles. If we connect in such a way, if we want to discover between us the right connection, then inside of that connection we discover this phenomenon called the light that reforms. And it corrects us in what? That it brings such a connection between us up to the power, up to the degree of and such an essence that in this connection we discover the upper force, meaning the form of the connection itself becomes the Creator. This is how the revelation of the Creator is, because we discover the Creator, Bore, come and see, inside of a connection that is arranged correctly as the new spiritual quality, the first spiritual quality. of love and bestowal. So what is most important for us is not to forget about that, and throughout the whole day, in our work, in all kinds of different places, in dissemination, in the circles that we do, not to forget about that mission, that all in all, I am working as a representative of the group towards the connection of the group. To what degree? Until the Creator will be revealed there. And then we will feel the contentment that we bring Him by that. And with this,
an announcement. The introductory lecture to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, as for opening the spring Kabbalah Lam College in Russian, we invite you to taste from an experiential introduction to the Wisdom of Kabbalah lecture from 11th to the 15th of May all over the country. Entrance is free, but the number of places is limited. Make sure you have room in advance on the phone 1-700-509-209. With that, we will conclude. Thank you and have a good day.
To survive, together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive, together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives, voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives, voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Together we can feel alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. Need each other to survive. Together we can be alive. We are born to leave the darkness for the light. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives, voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. We are branches of one tree, rooted in each other's lives, voices of one harmony, all as one begin to rise. Na 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 na. Of one tree.